The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Go spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Maybe you don't know the song. This is one of those old time revival songs when we want to baptize people with the Holy Ghost. And it's the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. God promised that He will send the Holy Ghost to be with you and with me permanently, forever. So that's why it's a song that the Lord just wants me to sing as a song. I said, well, that's the only song that comes to my mind when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Let's say it again. He said, the Comforter has come. Because when you remember in the Bible, it said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So from that day that the Holy Ghost came upon them, that song was in line. They created that song to say, the Comforter has now come. Now just ask for Him to come and infill you. Okay? Like I asked before some of the new people come, how many have been filled with the Holy Ghost? About 50%. So the Lord can fill you today if you have your heart open. It's not me that filled anybody. It's not any pastor. It is the Lord Jesus. That is the ministry that He only holds in His hand to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Only Jesus does that. However, He sends ministers to do it. They said when in one day, on the day of Pentecost, after the Pentecost, and the Philip, the evangelist, went to Samaria and preached, and they were baptized in water. And then when the disciples or the elders in Jerusalem heard about it, that, oh, they have not been baptized in water, but they have not received the Holy Ghost. They sent Peter and John to Samaria. And Peter and John came and lay hands upon them. Not Peter. He doesn't baptize, but Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost. But Peter and John, being the elders, they came and they lay hands and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't know that, it's in the book of Acts. We're going to point to it in a few minutes, but I'm already starting my exhortation as the Lord lives. So, remember that was the story when one guy who was among the people that were being baptized heard, wow, this elders from Jerusalem, he wanted that power to be able to lay hands upon people and the Holy Ghost will come upon them. So he offered Peter money. Came behind and said, Peter, give me this power. Here's money. Because the man was a trader. The Bible says he was Simon the sorcerer. That was his business. He wanted supernatural. And Peter said, your money perish with you. This is the gift of God. It's not by, you don't buy anything from God. And to show that it was not Peter that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, the next episode, Cornelius was a centurion and he called, angel appeared to centurion and said, call for Peter. Peter came by there and when Peter was just talking to them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And Peter said, well, now I remember it is the Lord Jesus said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are surprised that this is what is, you are not prepared. If you want the Holy Ghost, you don't have to prepare. You just have to be born again. Okay? You just have to belong to Jesus. If you belong to Him and your heart is ready, He can fill with the Holy Ghost. As simple as that. Amen? Amen? So that is for those who have not received the Holy Ghost at all. But my message today is going to be gifts of the Holy Ghost. For you that have received the Holy Ghost and you want extra gifts. And that's what we are going to talk about. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon us. I plead the blood of Jesus and I pray, Lord, that you that have given this word, you will come and minister to your people at the end of this presentation in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and fill us and refill us and give us the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. From verse 1, I'm always going to point to some Bible verses as we go along. Like we said, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what we are going to talk about. Now, remember one thing. There is gifts of the Holy Ghost and there is fruit of the Spirit. There is gifts and there is fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it has attributes. Joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, faith, meekness, temperance. But you see, one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it gave all the attributes of love. Those are all the attributes of love. Even though it was written in 1 Corinthians or Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, where it said, the fruit is love, joy, peace, is fruit, not fruits. But see, when you see God is love, and God said he is also long-suffering, when he declared, so those are the attributes of love. Gentleness, meekness, patience, faith. Those are all the attributes. Now, let's think about what the Lord Jesus Christ talked about when he said he is the vine, and he said, we are the branches. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine, but we disciples are the branches. And where do you find the branch of a tree, of a physical tree? You see the branches are coming from the stem of the tree. And where do you find the fruit of a tree? On the branch. Amen? So you and I, we are to produce fruit. Remember that. But the gifts of the Holy Ghost, they are called gifts, which the Holy Spirit in you will produce and manifest. But something very important is that you can also lose gifts. You can lose gifts. Somebody can give you a ring, and you can say, oh, thank you, you put it on your finger, and one time you take it out because you want to put your hand in some soapy water, and you put it away, and you forget about where you can lose a gift. These gifts of the Holy Ghost can be lost if you don't use them. But you don't lose the Holy Ghost, you can lose the gifts. Very important that you need to stir up the gift. Sometimes you have to stir it up so that you don't lose them. But let's talk about these gifts of the Holy Ghost that he has put in the church. That Apostle Paul said you have to covet earnestly the best of the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read from verse 1. If you want to put it on the screen. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. One Spirit. Let me emphasize that. One Spirit. That is, you don't have so many spirits of this and that. It's one Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It's one. Just like a human being is one. See, as you are seeing me right now, I'm just one person. But I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. I have nose to smell. I have hands to feel. So those are all what? My senses. My parts. The Holy Ghost is one, but he has eyes to see, he has ears to hear, he has feeling, he has all of those things. Those are all the senses that he can turn on in you. So he can make you have wisdom, he can make you have knowledge. These are all senses that the Holy Ghost can turn on in you when he is in you. He doesn't turn everything on. And that is what these gifts are. And let's talk about them. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 5 or verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now verse 7 said, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. So one is given by the Spirit. Now, these are the gifts of the Holy Ghost that I'm going to expatiate on. Let me first read through them, and then we go one by one through these gifts to make you desire it. So what is the purpose of describing them? I'm going to describe how they were used in the scriptures with examples, or in our daily life, or in our current life with examples, each gift. And that is to make you desire it. The Bible supposed to say in a place, covet, covet earnestly the best gifts. Okay? Verse 8 says, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. See, but all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Praise the Lord. So I just read that part to show you what are these gifts. I'm going to go through one by one each gift and give examples of how it was used in the Bible, how it has even been used even in our generation. If the Lord reminds me of any testimony, I will put it in. But we are just going to concentrate on samples in the Bible of how. Now, why is it very important for us to talk about this today? The revival that the Lord promised is about to start, or it's already on the way, or it's already starting. Amen. From what I've been seeing in the spirit, as I'm telling you right now, for quite some time I've not been going out witnessing. The Lord now lit upon me to start going out, and I've noticed our sister here, I've been saying, let's go and witness. The Lord just said to me, go out, start. So I went with my wife, went to the mall, talked to a few guys that will listen, anybody that wants to talk, talk. And as we begin to do that, the same night the Lord told me that keep doing it, because is about to start what is going to be, and this is what is coming to happen. This is the revival. It's not going to be just in buildings like churches. It's going to be in the streets. The Lord has showed that over it's this third time, the third week that we have seen it. It's not going to be just some ministers alone. He's telling, I'm going to tell you right now, put it upon yourself if you have not. Put it upon yourself to begin to be ready to speak for Christ. Wherever you find yourself, wherever you find yourself, you are in the grocery store. Hey, when the Holy Ghost comes upon people, it's going to make it, he'll give you the boldness. Just tell them what the Lord has done for you. This is what I saw in the spirit. This is what I saw in the spirit. Right in like a mall, a parking place, people are testifying. Some people are being healed. Some people are talking, because it's not just one man minister or going around. It's everybody that is a believer. The Holy Ghost is going to begin to move upon your life. That when you say it, it's going to happen. You say, well, yeah, I don't have this power yet. It's not you that's going to be doing it. Your own part, I'm going to talk about your own part first. Your part in this is for you to get yourself ready, clean, so that you, after all this revival is over, it's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a rapture of the saints. Your part is to pray that you don't miss that rapture. The miracle that God is going to do through you saying something about Jesus, it's going to be Jesus doing it, not you. But he's about to start doing that right now. And when he's doing that, that's when the people even say, well, we did something in your name. Say, yeah, but I never really knew you. He will honor his name when that time starts. But does he know you? Are you working for him? Are you walking in line with him? That is very important for you, that you are right, that you are following Christ, that you are born again, that you are cleansed, that you are following the scriptures. That is you. That is what's going to take you out of it with him in the rapture. The miracles will happen when you open your mouth and say it, because you belong to him. But now you are saying that miracle will happen through you does not mean that you are ready. So that's why I'm first telling you that part of it. Get yourself ready, for Christ is coming at the end of all these things we are talking about. Now these gifts will begin to operate in people, in believers. This gift I just mentioned here, that I'm going to describe one by one, is going to begin to operate heavily. We may be stepping into the water and then it's going to escalate, until the government will step into it and want to stop it. This is prophesied, it has already been prophesied before this time by prophets that this mighty revival is coming. Now, maybe you have not been watching the news. I just read the news last week in Cameroon. You know where Cameroon is? It's in Africa. It was in the news. Believers, churches, Pentecostal churches, let's call them, that are already doing some things like I'm talking about here, where they are praying for the sick. And the government shut it down and said, all these Pentecostal churches, shut down. You are all deceiving people. Well, that is going to take place even in this country, where it's going to be, when this revival I'm describing begins to go forth and everybody is performing miracles in the streets. Not in the churches, in the streets. Healing in the streets. When it begins to happen, what do you think will happen? People will go to the hospital and hospitals are being discharged. What do you think the hospital administration will do? They will say, don't let these guys come to our hospital anymore. We are not making any more money. And so there will be a persecution against these things when the Lord will begin to do it. And God is not going to stop the persecution. I want you to know that up front. The persecution will occur. They will stop praying. In fact, Evangelist Neil Frisbee, before he died, he mentioned something like that. He said, there's coming a time, which means in this country, when they will forbid people to pray for the sick. And that is what I'm telling you up front, that when this revival begins to sweep and the Lord begins to perform these wonders, they will forbid people to pray for the sick. Hospital will say, we don't want them to come to our hospital. Why? Because they are discharging people when the doctors have not been paid. You know then that in capitalism, they don't like that. And that is why they will come against it. Government. In Cameroon, they just started something like that and shut down the Pentecostal churches. Well, they let the Catholic continue. It's not religion. Only those who are believing in powers of miracles. And somebody said, well, maybe it's because the miracles were not really happening. These people were just... Even when the miracles happened in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Apostle Paul just made a lame man to walk after that. What happened? They stoned Apostle Paul. So don't think it's because miracles didn't happen in Cameroon. These people were deceivers. That's why the government shut it down. It's just the beginning of it. They will have some reason to oppose it. Now, when the miracles were happening, or like I said, in America, it will be happening. People will go to the hospitals and pray for the sick, and the people say, I'm healed, I want to get out, discharged. But he just came in. He has not paid for one day, but they were expecting him to pay for 3 days, 4 days. No? Then the hospitals are not making money. Then you will know what capitalism will do. They will rise up against it. It's coming. It's coming. Well, you may say, this is by the way, but I'm going to talk about the gifts, because the gifts of the Holy Ghost is going to precede all of these things. Because without the gifts, the Lord will not be able to do what he wanted to do. And that's why he's saying, talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now you say, well, oh, I don't want it then. If you say you don't want it, that means you don't want to be persecuted. You better want it, because this is what is going to get you out of here, the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again. And if you are born again, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you need the gifts of the Holy Ghost to participate and partake in this revival we are talking about. But during the revival, this is another warning I'm pointing out before I go into this message. It's what the Lord showed to me many years ago when I was still in Africa, that when the revival is going on, some people can be caught up into the revival that they forget the goal. The goal is we are going away from here. That's why I'm bringing that up front. Don't forget that goal. Our goal is the rapture. That is for the believers. People will be so caught up in the excitement, miracles, wonder, that they forget the goal. Our goal for believers is we want to get out of here in the rapture to go with Jesus. Because in the thick of it all is when he's going to call his own people. And like I said, what will make you be ready? Your lifestyle. You are walking with him. You are abiding in the vine. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And that brings the Bible verse that said, like I said, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. And I was sharing that with my family, I think yesterday. So what do you think? Christ said, if a branch does not bear fruit, it will be cut down and then withered and thrown into the fire. So if we are to bear fruit for Jesus, that's why I first talk about the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is what is going to carry us out of here. The fruit of the Spirit is going to carry us out of here with him. So that fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all those goodness, faith. So when you say, I'm exercising faith, it is because you are bearing that, showing that fruit. So let's go into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like we said. We have read wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are all the gifts. Let's go one by one. Wisdom, the word of wisdom. What is this word of wisdom? Example of how it has been used in the scriptures. We see the story of Solomon. Give me 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see how Solomon used wisdom that God gave to him. These are gifts, special gifts now. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Here the story told us that Solomon, when he became king, he went to sacrifice, and the Lord said, ask me something, whatever you ask. And Solomon asked for wisdom. You all know the story. And God gave him that wisdom and said, I will even give you more than wisdom. This story was recorded as an example of when Solomon started to use that wisdom. After that, you can remember he wrote books and all those. The book of Proverbs were written by Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and so on. And many other things that they couldn't even figure out, because they said he talked about things that are not known. Science, things of science that nobody knew about it. He talked about animals in the sea that nobody has seen, the wisdom that God gave to him. Now, this example here, there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him, verse 17. And the one woman said, oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And he said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they speak before the king. Now, that was the dilemma that came to them, and then Solomon was going to use his wisdom. Now, how does the word of wisdom operate? How does the word of wisdom operate? In the story of Solomon here, the Lord simply put some things in his mouth. You may say, well, maybe he has already figured it out. No, you don't have to figure it out. It's almost like when the Lord Jesus Christ said, when they will bring you before kings, don't even premeditate what you are going to say. The Holy Ghost will put the word into your mouth. And then the follow-up word also will put. So that is how the word of wisdom operates. It's not something like I studied psychology. No, if you study psychology, those are all human wisdom. But this Holy Ghost wisdom comes from the Holy Ghost. You don't really plan or premeditate it. The situation comes, and the Holy Ghost just spoke. And then they reacted, and he gave another word. And this is what you see here. And now the people, now they feared Solomon when they saw that. Wow, well, God was speaking through his mouth. Then said the king, verse 23, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, but my son is thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. You think he planned that? He didn't plan that. The Holy Ghost just put out his mouth and said, bring me a sword. Let's just divide it between the two of you. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Give half to the one and half to the other. Let's just resolve it that way. Everybody will say, well, if that comes to me, I would do the same thing. Let's see who's going to react. But Solomon didn't plan that. He didn't even plan who's going to react or anything. He just spoke as the Holy Ghost spoke. And then the reaction came. And the Holy Ghost said, yeah, that's the one that holds the child. So that is word of wisdom. Verse 26, then speak the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearn upon her son. And she said, oh my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Amen? Amen. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, that is an example of how the Lord showed us how wisdom operates. Now, did you get it? Asking the Lord. Amen. You know, the scripture said, if anybody lack wisdom, let him ask from God, who giveth him, giveth all. Let's see the word of knowledge. We talk about wisdom. There are many ways, examples that you can give. Let's go to the word of knowledge. John chapter 4. Now many people in our generation believe they have been operating the word of knowledge. And let's see how the Lord Jesus used it. John chapter 4 verse 15. This is the story of when the Lord Jesus Christ was at the well with this woman of Samaria. I'm going to read verse 15 to 18, John chapter 4. Now we all know the story. This woman came, and the Lord Jesus was sitting on the well waiting, and the woman came to fetch water. And the Lord started talking to the woman and said, give me some water to drink. And they exchanged some few words, like you all know that story. And verse 15, the Lord Jesus told the woman that he had a water that if I give you my water, you will never thirst again. That's leading to where the Lord was going to use the word of wisdom. Finally, the woman in verse 15 said, sir, give me this water that you talk about, that I thirst not, neither come either to draw. Okay? So Jesus Christ said unto her, all right, go, call thy husband and come either. You can see, I don't need to read your story. Many of us know the story of the woman at the well. But the Lord was leading her to where he used the word of wisdom. It was unnatural for you to give somebody, like a man, Lord Jesus Christ was a man, and this woman you met everywhere, and the exchange was, okay, give me what you are talking about, give me that word of water. So the Lord said, okay, let's try to make it of proper. Go call your husband, because you can't be talking, giving a woman something privately. Okay, go call your husband. The Lord was going to lead her to where she knew the woman already. And the woman said, I have no husband. And the Lord said, oh yeah, okay. So now this is the word of knowledge that the Lord was using. Thou hast, verse 17, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast, whom thou now hast, is not thy husband. And that says thou truly. Now say, how does he know that? How did he know that? That's how the word of knowledge. You may say, well, maybe he saw a vision. Well, maybe he just heard. You see, the Holy Ghost can do it anyway. Holy Ghost can do it anyway. But he says it's the word of knowledge. You just know. And I'm giving this example so that you may say, maybe I want that gift. Maybe I want the other gift. It's to rouse up your interest. Amen. Because you've got to pray for the gift you want. Apostle Paul said, if you speak in tongues, pray that you interpret. So you can ask the Lord for the gift you want. Amen. That's why we are going through these gifts of the Holy Spirit. 2 Kings chapter 6 is another place where it was used. I actually want to give an example in the Old Testament and an example in the New Testament. This is the story of Elisha the prophet. He used these gifts in so many ways that you would like to have something like that too. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8. Now this is the story of Elisha when the king of Syria was warring against Israel. And the king of Syria would tell his servants that we're going to just go and attack the king of Israel. We wanted to kill their king. And let's go hide in a on the streets over here with a camp of soldiers. When he is passing by, not aware of where we are, and we just strike him down dead. So it was more like a ambush. They were planning an ambushment against the king of Syria. But Elisha the prophet, thousands of miles away, or hundreds of miles away from Syria, we see those things, or either hear it or see it in vision or hear about it. And by knowledge, by that word of knowledge, he was instructing the king of Israel that, oh, the Syrians have come over on this road. Don't go there. From verse 8 to verse. And the man of God said unto the king, verse 9, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And then they told him that one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Well, that is word of knowledge operated by Elisha the prophet. It could be by vision, it could be by hearing. God can open your ears. When I said something, when I started, I said, the Holy Ghost is one spirit, and just like I am a human being, you are a human being, and you have so many senses. You can hear, you can smell, you can see. The Lord can open your ears. Holy Ghost in you can open your ears to hear discussion that was being discussed 1,000 miles away. And you just, oh, they are planning something. You just hear. It could be one, it could be that way. I'm just giving examples how the Lord operates it. But that, one way or the other, Elisha was hearing what they are planning in their palace in another country against his own king. And he was warning them. So God uses all of these gifts, and he has these gifts, and he's going to turn some of these things on. Like I said before, the revival we are waiting for, the Lord is saying, preach on this so that you believers, can begin to ask for the proper gift. When you ask, he that asketh, receive it. Amen? When you ask for this gift, you will receive it. And then if you prepare yourself, like we said, we are going away from here. So these gifts is just some of the tools we are going to use. But that's not the what's going to take us here. What's going to take us out of here is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? You can see another example of this word of knowledge in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 26. Elisha again. Now let me not go too much on each gift. Let's talk about the next gift is faith. The gift of faith. Now everybody has been given a measure of faith by just being a believer. That you believe Christ is a measure of faith. But this is an extra gift of faith. Amen? So when he said the Holy Ghost bring these gifts, it's an extra gift of faith that can do wonders. And let's give an example. Mark chapter 11. In the book of Mark chapter 11, we see the Lord Jesus Christ use this gift of faith. And then he told us, we can also use the same. Mark chapter 11, this is the story, verse 12. This is the story of when the Lord Jesus Christ caused the fig tree. Verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. You know the story. So they went and came back the second day, and the Lord brought them close to that tree again so that they could see how faith operates. In verse, let's see. Verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by that tree again, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou causest is withered away. And the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching us and about to teach them faith. He said, verse 22, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now that was an operation of the gift of faith. The Lord just spoke and went on his business. And what he spoke came to pass because of his faith. And the Lord is saying, just have faith in God. That is an example of the gift of faith. And that gift operates on and is still operating today. Many people have used it. Let's give another example. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 is another gift of faith by Elisha the prophet also. Now, I'm bringing it from the scriptures so that you can see examples without pointing out to the real life experiences that you should be able to do too. These things look like, wow, those are prophets. So those are prophets. You have to be a prophet. You are called to be a prophet also. Because the Holy Ghost that is operating in all people is in you. Amen? The Holy Ghost that is operating, or was operating in all those people, is also in us. So we should be able to get to the level where we can use all these gifts. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 3 to 7, we are seeing the story of Elisha, how he called an iron head back to the surface by faith. That's the gift of faith also. See chapter 6, verse 3 to 7. Let me just read that real quick. One person told Elisha when they were going to the bush to cut some timber, and Elisha said, well, go with us, master. I said, okay, I'll go with you guys. It was when they went to fetch this thing that one of them, as he was felling the tree, the axe head fell off into the water. And he cried unto the, verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. So Elisha cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. So you know the story if you don't understand it. The axe head, you know axe is, the head of the axe is made of iron, so it's going to sink into the water. But the water was deep, so they said, well, we borrowed this thing. How are we going to tell the man that loaned this thing to us? Where does it fall? It fell inside there. So Elisha caught his stick and more like replacement, call it replacement principle. So he said, okay. And the axe head started coming over and they grabbed it while it was floating. See, the word is faith, gift of faith. He said, well, anything like that happening in this generation? Oh, yes, it's happening. It's happening. Testimonies upon testimonies upon testimonies. Let me give you one quick testimony that happened that personally in my life many years when I was still in Nigeria, really. Bats, you know, bats, they go like a flock and they landed on top of a tree next to my apartment where I was living. And they were plucking everything down for days. And somebody said, gee, when these bats migrated here, this is terrible. The whole place was stinking with all these fruits, unripe fruits. So I didn't notice, and they, oh yeah, really, so I said, well, they must leave. So it was next to my apartment, so I just said, they must leave. And the Lord said, take some stones. So I pick up 3 stones. And I said, you bats, leave and don't come back. Leave. And I throw those 3 stones. And I left. Some few days later, I just don't talk about it. And I look, well, those bats are gone. They are gone for good. It's faith. You say, bats, they can go. You say, yeah, even you can drive away bees. Like I say, oh, if the bees come with their colony. You can drive them away by the word of faith. So you say, well, the Lord is still using those, happening over and over and over again. So don't think it's something that's in the Old Testament or it's in the days of old. We are people that are in the days of old. Amen? Believe that you are also operating the power of, these things are called the power of the world to come. All these powers that we are talking about, they have the power of the world. That is when the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom shall come, it shall be what we use naturally. But it's allowing human beings to use it in this our generation, in the generation before, powers of the world to come. So if you belong to that world to come, which you and I are partakers because you are now a Christian, we are the citizens of the world to come. Do you believe that? Yes. If you are Christian, that's what you are. When you enroll with Jesus, you enroll to become a citizen of the kingdom to come. Because another kingdom is coming after this governments of this world have been destroyed. The kingdom of Christ is coming. And that power that we are going to be using is allowing us to foretaste of it. So take note of that and begin to exercise your faith. That is the gift of faith. Now, he said this is special gift of faith, unlike the natural one that we all have commonly. So this special gift of faith, you can ask for it in prayer. That's all I'm saying here. Every gift that we are talking about here is to be coveted, to be asked for in prayer, so that the Lord can add it on top of it. It's almost like saying, now Lord, let me see, and he opened the spiritual eye. Now let me use it, and if you already have the Holy Ghost, it's already resident in you. But now he has to turn on some senses, open some windows, so that you can use those gifts. Amen? Now he talks about healing in the next gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's see an example where that is used. John chapter 4, verse 46. Because when we say healing, everybody say, oh yeah, just leave yourself and sick and you shall recover. That is a gift. He has given that almost generally to everybody. In Mark chapter 16, Christ said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. That is a general gift he actually gave to everybody. Gifts of healing. But you have to use it. And the more you use gifts, the better you become. Amen? Gifts of healing. But John chapter 4, verse 46 to 53 is an example of where the Lord Jesus can use that gift of healing. You know he was healing the sick, he healed everybody, but that's an example of it. And chapter 5 also, verse 1 to 14, is another place where he used that gift of healing, where he simply just told the man to go, and the boy was healed. And then I say Mark chapter 16, verse 18, tells us these signs shall follow them that believe. Everybody that believe, these signs should follow you. It's a general gift he has given to us to heal the sick. So you can say, but these are now extra gifts of healing that you can acquire that makes you to operate more frequently through you. When he says it's a special gift of the Holy Ghost. But he has given, just like the speaking in tongues. Remember, Christ said, these signs shall follow, they shall all speak in new tongues. Okay, so it's for everybody to speak in new tongues if you are a believer, when he gives you the Holy Ghost. Now he said there's another special one for diverse kinds of tongues, which we get to in a few, 2, 3, 4 down. So then that is an extra on top of the general one he gave to everybody. So think about it that way. Then you can ask for that extra gift. Amen? So the same with the gift of healing. Like I said, he has given generally to everybody to lay hands upon the sick. This such shall follow them, everybody that believe. But now there's a special gift that it will be operating more frequently in your own life for any kind of healing. Miracles. The working of miracles is the gift that was mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see an example of what is miracle. John chapter 6. Let's talk about the miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. John chapter 6. Now, you have to know the difference between working of miracles and then faith doing some things. They are a little bit different, but they are all operation of the Holy Ghost anyway. John chapter 6, verse 5 to 13. In this story here, the Lord Jesus Christ was with the crowd and he asked Philip, verse 5, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? This is the example of when he multiplied bread. Break 5 loaves of bread and fed thousands. That is working of miracles. That is working of miracles. You say, well, is it faith? Oh, faith has to be there, but the working of miracles, faith doing miracles. So that's why I call it working of miracles. As an example there. Another example of working of miracles is 2 Kings chapter 5. Just talking about one in the Old Testament, one in the New. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. Elisha the prophet again. Now this is the story of Naaman the leper. that came to Elisha when he heard that the God of Israel could heal him of that leprosy. Now you say, is that not healing? But you say, working of miracle. Why? Because Elisha didn't even come near. He just said, thus saith the Lord, go to the river Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. So it was working of miracles. And then the reason why it was miracle is what? If it is healing, the man will go and gradually get well, almost like when you take medicine and you are getting better and better. That is healing. But it's miracle when the fingers suddenly pop out that were rotting away, and the skin that was drying up, that was rotting away, suddenly turned in a moment. That's why it's called miracle. Healing that suddenly happened like that is called miracle. If it's gradual healing, that's healing. You lay a hand upon, they shall recover. That's what Christ promised. Gradual healing, they will recover. But working of miracle is something that miraculously changed. So that's why I give that example, to know what is working of miracle. You may say, well, the reason why I'm repeating myself, the reason why I'm giving this is to make you to do what? I desire these gifts so that you can ask. We're going to pray at the end of this so that you pray for what you ask for, and the Lord will give you the gift. And if you have never received the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray for you, and the Lord can give you the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Prophecy is the next gift that we want to talk about. All of these gifts are useful not only in the body of Christ when we gather together, it's also useful outside there to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul mentioned that prophecy is for the unbelievers coming to the... He said, actually, prophecy is for you in the church, to edify the church. But also, he also said, if an unbeliever comes among us, never knew much about this Christ we are talking about, and somebody prophesied, revealing the thoughts of his heart to him, say, we fall down and say, God is in the midst of you indeed. So it's not just for the church, it's also for great things that make the unbelievers come and fall down before our God. But as an example, Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, how the gift of prophecy was used in the first church. Verse 6 to 12, Acts of the Apostles chapter 13. Here, Apostle Paul was in this place where they are trying to preach to this man that invited them, come and talk, when Paul and Barnabas started going about preaching. They said this great man called them to come and talk. And then when they got to him, there was one false prophet, a Jew, called Bar-Jesus, verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elimas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now this is where the gift of prophecy operated in Apostle Paul. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, upon Elimas the sorcerer, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now he was going to prophesy. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. It was a gift of prophecy. And you can also say, well, maybe it was faith, but the Holy Ghost wanted to do something to punish that guy. And he made Apostle Paul to just speak it out. Because when you say prophecy means what? Prophecy means God speaking through your mouth. If I had a dream and I wrote it down and I came by and tell the people, this is what I dreamt about yesterday night or last week. Let's pray about this. Now that is not prophecy. The dream could be prophesying, but when I'm saying it, I'm just relating to you guys what I dreamt. So that would not be called voice of the gift of prophecy operating. It could be called in dreams. But if while I'm saying it, the Holy Ghost came upon me again and I bring some more words, that is gift of prophecy can operate like that. That can happen like that. You can stand up trying to tell your testimony and the gift that is in you can begin to do some more. Well, Apostle Paul started by wanting to rebuke the man. He was angry that the man was opposing them, so he wanted to rebuke the man, and the Holy Ghost just took over and prophesied through his mouth. That was what really happened. So gift of prophecy can be just as punishing people like that. So that's one thing we have to know about. Prophecy does not always mean the end of the world is coming tomorrow or so. Those are also prophecy. Acts of the Apostles chapter 11 is another story here of the gift of prophecy in operation. Verse 27. We heard about this prophet among the apostles, among the believers in the first church age, Agabus. Only twice in the Acts of the Apostles. And in verse 27, and in these days when Apostle Paul and these guys were in Antioch, came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great there throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So that was gift of prophecy. Prophesied that there's going to be drought and famine, and people say, let's do something about it. So prophecy can be to warn people, to warn the believer, to warn the world, to warn anything. God uses that, and that is what everybody knows to be prophecy. But the prophecy can be in many other forms too, like the one I mentioned there, Apostle Paul used to chastise the man. Acts of the Apostles chapter 21 is another example of the same, I think it's Agabus again. Chapter 21 verse 10. Where Paul was now going to Jerusalem, his final trip to Jerusalem, and the disciples have been warning him from different corners. He said every place he went, they say, hey, something is not right, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And he said, well, he was bound to go. But in this chapter 21, they got to Caesarea, and they were staying with Philip the evangelist. Verse 10 says, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, the same Agabus again. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's garu and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this garu and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So when they heard it, they said, Paul, don't go. Why do you need to go? And so on and so forth. But we know he went. And it happened just like the prophet said. Now that is gift of prophecy in operation. So it comes in different ways. How did they receive it? Get the gift, you know how they receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because I can be describing to you, it may be this way, it may be dreams, maybe visions, maybe, but it's Holy Ghost can speak while you are standing without you planning it from your house. That is gift of prophecy. It can also be what you have received in your house before you came. It will also be gift of prophecy. But when you are speaking it, if you are just narrating it, you could have received it and then you are narrating it. What you receive is prophecy. When you are narrating it, you are just saying it to us. But if the Holy Ghost is going to bring it right now, it's also a gift of prophecy. He can say it right now when you don't even know what he was going to say. So gift of prophecy is a gift that is good in the church. Desire all of these gifts. The next one is discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Let me give you two examples how it has been used in the Bible. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, which actually I've mentioned Apostle Peter. It was the gift of discernment that he used when that man called Simon the sorcerer came to him and said, well, give me this power that I might be able to do exactly what you are doing. You may say, well, does that need any much discernment? The man brought money and tried to offer him money. There's no much discernment in that. That's wrong. Yeah, you can use that to say that, but it's still a gift of discernment. But Apostle Paul said, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness. Chapter 8, verse 14. Let's read a little bit of it. From verse 14, that was when Peter got there. Verse 18 is where I'm going. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now, you see how sharply Apostle Peter rebuked the man. And the man was somebody that had been very close to Philip. You know, when these people wanting the power, they saw Philip doing the wonder, so he moved closer. Apostle Paul didn't respect him at all. Didn't try to, respecting of faces is not part of the Lord. Apostle Paul said that I may not preach with you. That shows that no respect for the man that is punching is doing something wrong. And Apostle Paul said, thou hast neither, verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God. Perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So it's the discerning of spirit. Acts of the Apostles chapter 16 is another example where Apostle Paul used also the discerning of spirit. You may also say, well, it doesn't look like discerning of spirit. This lady that was following Apostle Paul about, they said he had a spirit of divination. And she was broadcasting to everybody, hey, everybody, look at these two men. They are teaching us the way of God. That could have fooled a lot of people. That, well, maybe he has the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is telling him to tell them for us. But the Holy Ghost in Peter said, in Apostle Paul said, no. This is not the Holy Ghost. That's the devil trying to call attention, not to Peter, not to Paul. He's calling attention to herself, using them. Because they will say, well, she saw them, she must have something. And that was her trade. And Apostle Paul got of anger and said, come out of her. And because this is the sign of spirit that made Apostle Paul to immediately recognize in verse 16 to 18 that that was a wrong spirit. Amen. Now, diverse kind of tongues is the next gift. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost first came. When we talk about diverse kinds of tongues, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he may give you one tongue. You may not know the language, but you are speaking a tongue. But you can ask for the gift for diverse kind of tongues. Which means, while you are speaking, it can change to another tongue. Now, let me make a difference between diverse kind of tongues. When the apostles, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all speaking in tongues, we assume maybe about 120 people, they were all speaking in tongues, praising the Lord and prophesying. And the Bible said, the Jews that came from all over for the feast, they were all around, they heard them speaking in their tongues. So what really happened was what? 10, 20 people were speaking different languages. Different languages. One was speaking Persian, the other one was speaking this Elamite, the other one was speaking Romanic language, the other one was speaking Egyptian language. And the guy, the people around could say, well, I could hear what this man was saying. It was in their own mother tongue. The other one was hearing that woman saying in her own mother tongue. The other one was hearing that man saying in her own mother tongue. That is what the different languages God brought to them. That those people, individual, can be. And this same person that is speaking English now can change, even though English was not learned by him, can suddenly change and start speaking German. And can change again and speak another language. That is diverse kind of tongues. And I just give the example of the Acts of the Apostles that it does not really necessarily for the, when there are so many of them, people there speaking in tongues, you don't need for one person to speak three languages at the same time. If 10 people are speaking 10 different languages and there are 10 different tribes listening to them, they will say, I can hear that man is saying my Igbo language. I say, that man, that one is saying my Igbo language. And they were all hearing their languages from these voices. Okay, that is one way you can tell. But the diverse kind of tongue means you can speak different languages as the Holy Ghost brings to your hearing. Now the next one says interpretation of tongues. Apostle Paul said, when you can speak in tongues, pray that you can interpret so that you can edify the body of Christ. All these gifts that the Holy Ghost has brought to us is for use in the body. Now interpretation of tongues is different from if I am speaking in my tongue now, and I speak Korean language. Well, there's a Korean among us, she can understand. She doesn't need interpreting of tongues to understand that. She will just tell us exactly what that language, that brother said. If somebody is speaking a language and she and I am here and I knew my Yoruba language so well, and a white lady or white man started speaking my Yoruba language, I don't need the diver interpretation of language to interpret that. That's my language. So I will be able to tell you what he said. But the interpretation of tongues is a special gift that I don't know that language naturally, but I will understand it by just listening and I will know what he or she was saying. That is the gift of interpretation of tongues. Apostle Paul gave us example. In fact, there was an example where there was, I don't remember this brother, he doesn't come anymore. I think it's Taylor, Brother Taylor. He gave a testimony here. One time we were doing a Bible study, and he gave a testimony that his little daughter came forward when we prayed for this, for the Holy Ghost. We prayed for them for the Holy Ghost. He said, she went back and told her daddy when she was saying that all the time we were praying for them that something came upon her, and from that time that something came upon her, that all this gibberish that we were saying, she could understand it. They call it gibberish. That was the Brother Taylor was giving that testimony here, one of the Bible studies, that her daughter said that she could understand it. The Holy Ghost gives the interpretation of tongues, you just understand the language. So he's saying this and this and that and that. You don't need to learn that language. That is the interpretation of tongues. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as I'm going to wrap up and call for prayer right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I've described examples of how all these things are used, how it is beneficial in the body of Christ. Let's read what Apostle Paul tells us. Chapter 14, verse 13. Start from verse 12, please. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 13 says, therefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 23 and 25 of chapter 14. And this is an extra example of Apostle Paul telling us that if somebody come into the midst of the church and everybody is speaking in tongues and nobody is interpreting it, he will think ye are all mad. Verse 24 says, but if all are prophesying and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, is convinced of all, is judged of all, and then secrets of his heart are made manifest. Falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So we want that type of gift. How many want that kind of gift in our midst? How many? So I want that kind of gift in our midst. Because we have, you see, like Moses said, we have stayed long enough in this wilderness. Amen? We have stayed long enough in this wilderness. It's time to move forward. It's time to move forward in the Holy Ghost. It's time to ask the Lord, Lord, let's move ahead. We have stayed long enough in this wilderness. Anybody that say, I have not received the Holy Ghost, you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you have prepared your heart, it means you want to serve the Lord. The Holy Ghost is given to those who wanted to serve the Lord. That is, you want to witness, because he said you'll be endued with power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So that's one major reason why you need the Holy Ghost, for witnessing for Christ. Now, if you want this special gift, whatever gift you ask, you have to ask the Lord yourself, and he's ready to give it to you. Let's stand up to our feet. You want baptism of the Holy Ghost? The door is open. Come forward. Let's pray for you. You want special gifts? Come forward also. Let's pray for you. Pastor, come over. Pastor Yato, let's lay hands upon those who want the special gifts of the Holy Ghost. If you want the Holy Ghost baptism, just come forward. We're going to lay our hand upon you. If you want special gifts, you ask the Lord for a particular gift, you can come forward too and say, Lord, I want this particular gift. It doesn't say you shouldn't ask for a specific gift. You want a particular gift, just ask him yourself, Lord, I want this specific gift. And the Lord is able to give it to you. Pastor Yapa Peter, come forward too. Let's just lay hands upon those that come forward, and we're going to pray for you for the special gift or for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come forward. And if the Lord is reminding me of something here. There is the, like we said, he's going to begin to operate as he wills, and it's the Lord that is doing this. Many of you guys that are using glasses to read, the Lord wants to minister to you. Just come forward. You use glasses to read. I'm 62. I don't use glasses to read because of the gift of the Holy Ghost that is rejuvenating me. If you say that you can't read because you just need glasses, God can touch you, because He showed to me in that vision, one vision that people were just spoken to, and he corrected their eyes. The Lord can do that for you too. So you just claim that right now. And I will pray for you on that. I don't want to be using glasses to read. The Lord can do that for you. So now, if you are asking for the Holy Ghost for the first time, I want you to be either in the front, so that we go to lay a hand upon the others that are just asking for the special gift. Just begin to pray for yourself. Okay, let's pray. If you are asking for the Holy Ghost for the first time, kneel down. Kneel down. You have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Kneel down. Lord Jesus, we are gathered right here in your front, Lord, as you have said, Lord. And we want you, Lord Jesus Christ, to minister to us. You are the Holy Ghost baptizer. Nobody else but Jesus. He baptizes in the Holy Ghost. When Peter was speaking in the house of Cornelius, before Peter finished, you already filled him with the Holy Ghost, Lord, to show that you are the one, Lord. These young women and young men that are kneeling down, Lord Jesus Christ, they want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to lay my hand upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your tongue, open your mouth, and begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank the Lord. Raise up your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Just keep saying, thank you, Jesus. Say to him, receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I lay my hand upon this young man. Lord, lift up your hand right now, my brother, and begin to thank him with your mouth. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Just begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus, because you are the baptizer. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this young man, Lord Jesus Christ. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, lift up your hands. Thank Jesus with your mouth. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus. Keep thanking him. Just keep thanking him. Just keep saying, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Because he loves you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now lift up your hand, my sister, and begin to thank Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving my sister here the Holy Spirit. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I call up by shed that you are a combat. I call up by shed that you are a combat. I call up by shed that you are a combat. All of you that are using glasses to read, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to touch your eyes. Father, I call for the Lord Jesus Christ to touch the eyes of all our brothers and sisters. Just raise up your hands that are claiming it right now. Just raise up your hands. I don't need to touch you. Receive your eyesight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, how about a holder the shed that you are covered, the holder by shed that you cover, the holder by shed that you cover. Receive your eyesight back in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, hold up a holder the shed that you are covered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you touch their eyes, Lord, and restore it. He said, I will restore, say the Lord, the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and locusts have eaten. My great army that I sent among you. Restore your eyes. Your eyes are restored in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your eyes are restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Your eyes are restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Now touch your eyes yourself. Just lay your hand upon your side and say, thank you, Jesus, for restoring my eyes. Say, thank you, Jesus, for restoring my eyesight. Say, thank you, Jesus, for restoring my eyesight. Touch your eyesight with your hands. Touch your eyesight with your hands. Say, thank you, Jesus, for restoring my eyesight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now you can go back to your seat. Claim it in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus can touch you. Now all of you sisters and brothers that are asking for a special gift of the Holy Ghost, whatever gift you are asking for, I'm just going to lay my hand upon you and ask the Lord God to impart that gift into your body, into your spirit. Father, thank you, Lord, for our friends here, Lord God, that wanted this special gift, Lord Jesus. Whatever gift they have desired, the gift of prophesying, the gift of speaking in tongues or diverse kinds of tongues, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you fill them. Give them. Let that spirit of God in thee open up that gift that you have desired in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that ask, receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Rakoba, the Koda, the Shed, the Yerakoba, the Horda, the Shed, the Yerakoba, the Horda, the Koba. Let the Holy Ghost open up the gift that you desire from him. Because he said, he that ask, receive it. Receive that which you receive, which you desire from the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Rakoba, the Shed, the Koba, the Horda, the Shed, the Koba. Receive that gift that you desire from the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that asks, receive it. Ask him. Ask him. Make sure you are opening your mouth and tell him exactly what you want. and he's going to give you according to his heart's desire for you. Receive that gift that you desire from the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Receive that gift that you desire from the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask my brother, Lord Jesus Christ, to be rejuvenated from head to toe. Receive that Holy Ghost gift that you deserve from the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you feel him, Lord, to be overflowing. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever gift you deserve from the Lord, ask him in your prayer right now. Among this gift of the Holy Ghost. Receive that gift from the Lord. Holy Ghost, turn it off. Holy Ghost, open it up for him, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now stand firm on your feet. Stand firm on your feet, my sister. So the Holy Ghost can come to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Feel to the overflow by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Any wrong spirit, come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. It has been commanded by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you asking for a special gift, brother?
Yes.
Jesus, my brother is asking for a special gift, Lord. You know exactly his heart, Lord. Give him that gift, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. For this purpose, the Almighty God says you preach this gift of the Holy Ghost so that we can receive the desire of our heart. Receive the desire of your heart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive that gift of the Holy Ghost that you desire from the Lord. Because he seeth your heart and he shall give the according to the desire of your heart. He said, you don't fulfill all thy petition in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, my brother. Thank you, Lord, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, my brother. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost turn open, Lord Jesus Christ. Open up all those gates. Give him the gift that she desires in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give her the gift that she desires, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that could be hindrances, blockages, we command it to be removed. All blockages, command it to be removed from her. Anything that could be self exaltation, let it disappear from her. Let that humility reign in her, Lord Jesus Christ, so that she can operate the gift in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now receive that gift that the Almighty God has desired for you, that you ask for, and you shall receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, fill my sister here with the Holy Ghost to the overflowing and the desire of her heart, the gift that will give her wisdom. Lord Jesus Christ, let wisdom come upon her. Wisdom come upon her. Into our wisdom of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, receive wisdom from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord gives you the size of that. Thank you. Receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Take it away.
Anointing everybody. Praise Him, God of us.